Let us worship God. We shall unite in singing praise in Psalm number 112. We sing from verse 4 to the end of verse 7, and the tune is Irish number 73. Psalm number 112 from verse 4. Unto the upright light doth rise, though he in darkness be, compassionate and merciful and righteous is he. A good man doth his favour show and doth to others lend. He with discretion his affairs will guide unto the end. Surely there is not anything that ever shall him move. The righteous man's memorial shall everlasting prove. And so on to the end of verse 7. Psalm number 112 from verse 4. Tonight, let us praise God.
Victory over sin and death. As we recall that on the first day of the week long ago, he rose triumphant from the grave. Grant that this day we may know resurrection confidence and resurrection power, and may be enabled to rest on him who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We pray that in every part of our service, our eyes may be unto thee, the God of all grace. Grant us thy blessing. Grant forgiveness for all our sins. Through Christ our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen. Let us read God's word together from the book of Joshua, reading in chapter 1. The book of Joshua, the first chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your boast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you, on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. We pray that the Lord would apply to our hearts
the truth and the confidence of his own word. I want to speak especially to the boys and girls this morning from a verse in the book of Genesis in chapter 5, in verse 24. Book of Genesis, chapter 5, in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. A little girl was asked once what she knew about Enoch from the Bible. And she knew this verse. And she said that Enoch was a man who used to go for walks with God. And one day they walked further than usual, and Enoch was tired, so God just said, Enoch, you just come home with me. Now that thought and that verse has been very much in my mind in thinking about the death of the beloved former pastor of this congregation, Reverend A.R. Wright. Now I'm quite sure a lot of the boys and girls don't really know him, but your daddies and mummies knew him well. You know Mr. Lyons, right, his brother, you know Mr. Hugh, right, his nephew, you know other nephews and nieces in the congregation. But I'm thinking this morning, and I want you to think with me about Mr. Wright and about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and so did Mr. Wright. Now walking with God means at least two things. And one is this. We must be going in the same direction. If you're walking with anybody, you must be going in the same direction that they're going. But you see, to begin with, we are not going in the same direction with God. We're going our own way. And to be converted means to turn right around and go the other way. Now that's what happens when we put our trust in Christ, when we turn from sin and turn to Him. And then after that, it means finding out all the time what direction God wants us to go in. If we're going to walk with Him, we have to know what direction God wants us to go in. And that's why Mr. Wright became a minister. Because he wanted to give his whole life telling boys and girls and men and women the way in which God wanted them to go. But then walking with God also means having God's companionship with us and knowing that He's by our side. And that was true for Mr. Wright as well. In all the different experiences of his life, he knew that God was alongside him. And we can know that too, as every day we ask the Lord to walk with us. Enoch walked with God. And we're told Enoch was not. There came a time when Enoch was no longer there, when he was no longer on earth. And Mr. Wright is no longer with us here on earth. And we'd all miss him in so many ways. And we're praying today for those who will miss him most. But more than that, we need someone to take his place. And I'm talking especially to boys and girls here this morning. I wonder, are there boys and girls who in the coming days will take the place of those who have gone before them in Christian living and in Christian service? I'm sure some of the boys and girls, the older ones, knew about Miss Gardner, who was a missionary of our church for many, many years. She died some time ago. But when she was ill in hospital, she told me about the way in which she came to be a missionary. It happened a long, long time ago. Her brother Alec was studying for the ministry. He was a student at the Theological Hall. And cycling home from Belfast, he was knocked down and killed by an army lorry many, many years ago.
On the Sabbath after his death, Mr. Crummy, who was the minister in Kilrath in those days, asked, was there anyone who would take his place? Now, Miss Gardner knew she couldn't be a minister. You had to be a man to be a minister. But there and then, though she was only a girl, she resolved that with God's help, she could be a missionary. And so she was. Her brother was not. Reverend Alec Wright is not. Miss Gardner is not. Are there those who will rise up to take their places? And then we're told about Enoch. God took him. And sometimes when people die, we think of them as having been taken by an accident or by a heart attack or by illness. But you see, when death comes for God's people, it's God who takes them. Early one afternoon, God took Mr. Wright. He took him as a gardener takes ripe, lovely fruit from a tree for his using. He took him as a craftsman takes a tool that he wants to use. And when God takes his people to him, it's because he's got something for them to do in heaven. For there the Bible tells us, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And it all began for Mr. Wright when he put his life in Christ's sure keeping. Are there boys and girls here today who are going to do just that and begin a life of loving service for the Lord Jesus? We're going to sing a song which we remind ourselves of what it means that God takes his people to himself. It's Psalm number 73. We sing from verse 23 to verse 26. And the tune is Wiltshire, number 136. Psalm number 73, from verse 23. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand, still upholdest me. That's what happens when we walk with the Lord. He holds our hand, he goes beside us. Thou with thy counsel while I live, would me conduct and guide. To thy glory afterward, receive me to abide. Psalm number 73, verses 23 to 26. The tune Wiltshire, number 136. Let us praise God.
Oh,
us turn again to the Word of God, as we find it written in the Epistle to the Hebrews. We read the closing part of chapter 2 and the opening part of chapter 3. The Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse 6. Reading on into verse 6 of chapter 3. Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning to read at verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken out. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end? We end our reading at verse 6 of chapter 3, and pray that the Lord who gave the word would bless his own word to our hearts. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in reverence and in submission. We come looking to thee as the God of all grace, the God of all wisdom, the God of all power, and above all, as the God of all love. And we thank thee, O God, that
thou hast revealed that love to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That thou didst so love the world as to give thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For that indescribable gift, we give thee praise and thanks, O God. And we thank thee that with him thou dost also freely give us all things. On this Sabbath day, we would thank thee for the gift that thou dost give to this congregation in Alexander Reed Wright, and for the service which in thy grace he was enabled to give in this place, for all that he was in this congregation, to every family, to every individual, to the children, to the elderly, to those in mid-time of their days, for all that he meant, O God, to us here, we give thee praise and thanks. But above all, we thank thee for the word faithfully preached, for thy message brought through thy instrument, for the blessing of thy people. We thank thee for his pastoral concern, for the way in which in our homes he ministered to us, to our children. And we praise thy name, O God, that in that ministry he showed the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in all his dealings and in all his ways. We thank thee for his wider service in the church, and for all that he meant in presbytery, in synod, and in the community. O God, we thank thee upon every remembrance of him. And today especially, we remember his family circle, and commit them to thy sure comfort and to thy sustaining grace. Especially we pray for Mrs. Wright, and in the days that lie ahead, she may know thine upholding moment by moment, day by day, and that all the members of the family may know in rich measure thy presence and thy grace and strength. And as we all have another link with the eternal world, so may we set our affection on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. We pray for all who have been reminded of their own loss and sorrow. In the sorrow that has come to us all at this time, do thou bind up broken hearts and heal bruised minds. Do thou give the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do thou grant to us all that we may so rest on Christ for our salvation, that when our call comes, it may mean in thy grace an abundant entrance into the glory. Again, our Father, we give thee praise and thanks. We pray that thou hast blessed every member of this congregation, every home. Bless the children of our homes, those who are here, those who are away from home. Grant, O God, that they all may know the love of Christ surrounding them, the grace of Christ sufficient for their need. And grant to us all in our different circumstances, and grant to those who are not here because of illness or old age or infirmity or duty, grant that all these may know, even in this moment of prayer, special benediction from thyself. And now we pray for blessing as we study thy word together. Grant that we may see no man save Jesus only. We ask, seeking forgiveness for all our sins, in his name and for his sake. Amen. The service here on next Sabbath, God willing, will be conducted by Mr. David McKay. Then the service at Castle this evening at 8 p.m. will be conducted by the Reverend Isaac Cole. The CY are planning to attend the meeting at Cross Yar, which will commence at 8 p.m. The speaker will be Mr. Joe Black. Would the members of the WMA please wait behind at the close of the service? And would WMA members intending to travel by bus to the WMU conference to be held at Dromara on Saturday the 26th of March, please give their names to Mrs. Anne McElfatrick as soon as possible. The bus will leave Ballymoney at 11:15 a.m. and it would be advisable to bring a packed lunch. The announcement that I left at Ballymoney, I said 11:15 a.m. sharp. I'm sure, quite sure that the bus driver would want to make a prompt start to get to Dromara in good time. In Ballymoney this afternoon, I hope to commence a class for young people and others who are considering coming into the communicant membership of a church, what's normally referred to as a communicant's class. And the thought occurred to me that there perhaps might be young people in Ballylagan who would want to come to such a class. If so, you would be very welcome. If it's not convenient to come today, the class will be going on, God willing, for the next few weeks at 5 o'clock in the session room each Saturday afternoon. Coming to the class doesn't mean necessarily that a young person is going to come into the membership of the church, but it does mean that you have the opportunity of learning what it means to be a member of the church. And so if there are any who would like to come, would you please let me know, and or would you please just come along to the communicants class beginning this afternoon in Ballymoney in the session room at 5 o'clock. These are all the announcements and your offering will now be received. For our study of God's Word this morning, I'd ask you to turn with me to the book of Joshua in chapter 1, and especially to the second verse. The book of Joshua, the first chapter, in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. On the afternoon of Thursday, as you know, God's finger touched A.R. Wright, and he slept. Our congregation here meets today not with any bitterness or sorrow, for we cannot lament his liberation from all the weakness of the body. We cannot lament his entrance into the glory, but we come with a deep sense of sympathy for Mrs. Wright, Lyons, and the whole family circle, and with heartfelt thanksgiving to God for every remembrance of him. Now it is not my intention today to express any eulogy of him that he would never have wished. He who in his lifetime never looked for the praise of men would not want it now. What I am concerned to do is to ask what this sad and solemn experience has to say to us. What God the Lord would say to us in this hour of mourning and of loss. Throughout the whole of his ministry, confined to this congregation, Alec Wright proclaimed the gospel. And today we listen for the word of God that comes to us in and through his death. And the message that comes first and foremost to my own heart is expressed in these words written long ago in the book of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. It is not enough that we should pay our tribute to the memory of Mr. Wright. The people of Israel have paid their tribute, great tribute to their head leader in the plains of Moab, in the record in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 8. The people of children wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. But God would not let the people be satisfied with that. For immediately following that, the book of Joshua brings his challenge to the people. Now, after the death of Moses, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore arise thou. And let us take the verse almost phrase by phrase this morning. Let it be bringing God's comfort and God's challenge to all our hearts. We have here first a tribute to a servant. Moses, my servant, says God. I cannot think that Moses would have wished for any nobler epitaph. All his life through he had sought no greater honor than to be a faithful servant in the task to which God had called him. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews in the chapter we read summarizes it all like this. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. My servant, says God. And we can be very sure that the welcome which your beloved pastor and our friend received as he entered into the glory was this: well done, good and faithful servant. For that is what he wanted. Opportunity will no doubt be taken in presbytery and in synod to pay tribute to the service which Alec Wright gave to the church as a whole. I can speak from personal knowledge of the service he gave in the psalmody committee, how he loved the psalms, and how concerned he was that the church should be sung as well as possible. His service in the committee on the instruction of the young, the work of the Sabbath school was always his special interest. His service in the Theological Law Committee, where many a nervous student was encouraged by his constructive comments and a nervous sermon. His concern for the work of the Foreign Mission and the Irish Mission, and his love for God's servants in difficult fields. I think perhaps one of the things that I remember most clearly in Alec Wright's service to the church as a whole was the fact that whenever Synod appointed a committee to deal with a particularly difficult problem or a particularly sensitive situation, Alec Wright's name was always put forward. His insight, his compassion, made him an automatic choice for such committees. But opportunity to pay tribute to his service for the church as a whole will be taken elsewhere. What we're thinking about especially today, you and I, is his service in this congregation. Mr. Wright never forgot that the basic meaning of the word minister is servant. He was Christ's servant, first and foremost, and your servant, for Christ's sake. We think of his service in this pulpit as a preacher of the word. Behind that service lay a love for God's word and a constant study of God's word, which meant that he brought to his people Sabbath by Sabbath the finest of the wheat. We remember his service as a pastor in the congregation. Always he was prepared and willing to spend himself and be spent in the service of his people. He had a special concern for the young, the lambs of the flock, as so many of you know. The children's addresses published in the church magazine for nearly 30 years were addressed first to you, who were then the children in this congregation. And the children were enabled to see a message from God in the common things of every day. And then alongside his concern for the young, there was his concern for the elderly, for the sick, for the sorrowing. To his needs he ministered most faithfully, setting a standard of pastoral care that could not be surpassed. My servant, God's servant, your servant in this congregation. But what is a servant's main task? In the days when there were servants in houses, the servant's task often was to introduce someone to her master. Someone comes to the door. She doesn't engage him in conversation or introduce business of her own. She says only as much as is necessary to introduce him to her master. And then she slips away, unnoticed. To be such a servant is the height of a true minister's ambition. He must needs show himself. His personality must be felt. But he must show himself only in such a way as will lead those to whom he ministers into the presence of his master and his Lord. How many Alec Wright introduced to the Lord, only eternity will be sure. But there are those here who to all eternity will thank God for that service. And even in hospital, he was still the Lord's servant to so many people. His unfailing courtesy and gentleness, his joy in the word read and sung, is the way in which he somehow communicated the sense of the Lord's presence. That was his service, still continued in days of frailty and weakness. My servant, says God. Then we have here, in the second place, a challenge to his successors. Moses, my servant, is dead. What then? Is everything at an end because God's leader has been taken from him? Moses, my servant, is dead. What then? Therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. That was God's word to Joshua. There was still work to be done. There was still leadership to be given. There was still a possession to enter into. Moses is dead, God said to Joshua. You must take his place and finish the task that he has left undone. Can I illustrate that from a very personal and intimate experience of my own? One of the finest young men I ever knew was Harold Miller. And I didn't know him, for he was my roommate during my first year of college. Often he shamed me by the utter dedication of his own Christian living. And always he steadied me and helped me in those difficult months when one is away from home for the first time. And it's so easy to slip away from the old standards. An outstanding young man. And it seemed he was destined for a noble place in the ministry of the Irish Presbyterian Church. But less than 2 months before starting the second year, as a young man, Harold Miller was suddenly called home. He was the first near friend that I had lost my God. And at first my spirit questioned and rebelled. Why should he be taken when the need for such men was such a great need? There was so much that he had to leave undone. Why? Why? But then at last, I came to see things differently. There was so much that he had to leave undone.
then by God's grace, I would try to do some of it. And by his grave, I vowed that because of him, because of the faith in which he lived and the faith in which he died, I would try to be a worthier minister. I vow it too poorly kept, and yet I renewed it yesterday in response to the word that we all heard from Teddy Donnelly. There is a work unfinished, and you and I are called to take up the unfinished task. Alec Wright, my servant, is in here. Therefore, arise thou. Is that God's word to someone here this Sabbath morning? Someone who will offer himself or herself for the work of service in Christ's kingdom. Someone who will make a new commitment and a new dedication to Christ's service here and now. Arise thou. And then we have here as well a call to united service. God said to Joshua, arise thou and all this people. That was God's word to Joshua. It's God's word to us today. Maybe one reason why God calls away servants that are so sorely needed and were so greatly used, maybe one reason why God calls them away is to remind us that the ministry is not a one-man show, that the work of Christian service in any congregation does not depend on one man. A leader may be taken, but the work must still go on, and many are called to share in that work. Thou and all this people. I was struck yesterday by Professor Donnelly's comment that the greatest memorial to Alec Wright is a godly congregation united in Christ's service. A godly congregation united in Christ's service. Thou and all this people. A call to every one of us to share in the task that still remains in Ballylay. A call to united service. There's one more thing to be said. We've had a tribute to a servant. We've had a challenge to his successors. We have had a call to united service. We have as well the guarantee of success. It would be easy in the face of a faithful ministry, and in the face of the challenge that that inexorably brings to us, it would be easy to imagine that so much depends on man. That is why we must come back before we close to the thought that everything depends on God. You see, we never come to the heart of the gospel until we come to a promise. And the promise is here. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. Only in the original Hebrew, it's more continuous than that. Into the land which I am giving to them, even to the children of Israel. At the heart of the gospel, which Alec Wright preached from this pulpit, was this word of God continually, I am giving God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He that spared not his own Son and delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? At the very heart of Christian experience, at the very heart of the Christian life, is this guarantee of success, that God is a God who is continually giving. And so we can face the future in this congregation with confidence. The God who gave Christ for our salvation, the God who gave Alec Wright for so many years to this congregation, the God who gave him the grace in which he lived and in which he died, is the same God still. The same God for me and for you, still giving. And our part. And how often Alec Wright stressed this in preaching. Our part is to reach out empty hands and take, without money and without price, his unspeakable gift in Christ and every other gift we need. God says to us today, I am given. And our part, surely, with humility and with thanksgiving, is to take God's gift of Christ and every other gift we need. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? What will we give? I will take the cup of salvation and I will call in the name of the Lord. Pray. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, the giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank thee for thine unspeakable gift to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou didst so love the world as to give him thine only begotten Son for our salvation. And O God, we pray that we may be enabled, even as little children, to take that gift with empty hands. We have no merit, we have no deserve. O God, enable us to be humble enough to take that gift of Christ for our salvation. And then do thou write upon our hearts the truth that the love that gave Christ can be trusted to give every other thing we need. We praise thy name, that thou dost not spare thine own Son, but didst deliver him up for us all. And we thank thee, O God, that with him thou wilt also freely give us all things. For the gift of the ministry of Alec Wright in this congregation, again, O God, we give thee thanks. And we look not to him, but to thee, the giver. And we praise thy name. And we pray that thou wouldst bless the word that he preached, the word that still is sounding in the hearts of men, to our continuing growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we seek thy giving for Mrs. Wright, for the members of the family, for all who sorrow. Grant, O God, that they may find that thou art indeed the God who giveth comfort liberally, that thou dost bind up broken hearts, that thou dost give strength for the lowliness of the onward way, and that thou wilt do for us in all our going, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Send us forth, our Father, now from this service, committed to Christ and to his service, and resting on this sure confidence
I am giving.
May we know that every day we live. And by thy grace, live to thy glory. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We do our service again, sending praise to God in Psalm number 116, from verse 13 to the end of the Psalm, in the Judas and Lenny, number 109. Let us notice always that verse 13 is the answer to the question asked in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? What can we give? What can we give to God for all his gifts? All we can do is to take. I of salvation take the cup. On God's name will I call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. Dear in God's sight is his saint's death. Isn't that wonderfully true? The death of a believer is precious to the Lord. And here's our opportunity to make our commitment. Thy servant, Lord, am I. Psalm 116, from verse 13 to the end. Let us praise God. With you all. Amen.